Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 3. Nehemiah, chapter 3. We'll read verses 4 through 8 together. We'll read that passage responsively. Nehemiah 3, verses 4 through 8. While you're turning, I'll read one other verse to you in Nehemiah 12, verse 38. The other company of them that gave thanks went over against them, and I after them, and the half of the people upon the wall, from beyond the tower of the furnaces, even unto the broad wall. Now, Nehemiah chapter 3, verses 4 through 8, we'll read this passage responsively, and I'm going to warn you in advance, we're all going to slaughter these names, all right? It's not Bill and Bob and Bubba here, so bear with me if you will, all right? Nehemiah 3, verses 4 through 8. And next unto them repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz. Next unto them repaired Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabel. And next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Baana. And next unto them the Kohathites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Pesiah, and Meshulam, the son of Besodia. They laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Melatiah, the Gibeonite, and Jadon, the Meronothite, the men of Gibeon, and Mizpah, unto the throne of the governor on this side of the river. And let's finish on verse 8 together. Ready? Next unto him repaired Uziel, the son of Harihida, of the goldsmiths. Next unto him Hananiah, the son of one of the apothecaries. And they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall. And let's pray. Father, again, thank you for our church. Lord, thank you that we can come and we can share our burdens, but Lord, just a little while ago, we got to laugh and enjoy things. And yet, the most important part, the preaching of the Word of God. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Our nation needs you. Our world needs you. Lord, the people in this room could be used to change it all across this globe. Father, please use our preacher and may we listen in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
The sermon this evening is entitled, The Broad Wall. The Broad Wall. In Nehemiah chapter 3, verse number 8, toward the end of the verse it says, And they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall. In Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 38, we see those words used again. It says, From beyond the tower of the furnaces, even unto the broad wall. We see here the story of the rebuilding of the walls around Jerusalem. These walls had been destroyed and they had deteriorated. God uses Nehemiah to lead the project of the rebuilding of the walls. Nehemiah faced some opposition while rebuilding the walls. Two men had tried to undermine God's work, a man by the name of Sanballat, another man by the name of Tobiah. Nehemiah 2:19 says, But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, What is this thing that ye do? Will you rebel against the king? Here, Nehemiah is trying to rebuild this wall. These two men, Sanballat and Tobiah, are mocking and teasing and giving Nehemiah a hard time. The Bible said there they laughed at them, laughed them to scorn. The Bible says that these men, in an attempt to oppose a rebuilding of the wall, despised Nehemiah and the building of the wall, even to the point where they use the words, Will you rebel against the king? Trying to say that your rebuilding of this wall for God it's not patriotic. But of course, doing what's right for God is true patriotism. That's our loyalty is to God. In Nehemiah chapter 3, verse number 5, it says, And next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. What are we talking about? There was opposition in the rebuilding of this wall. People were laughing. People were mocking. People were despising them. People were saying they were not They were not patriotic. Now, it says here that the nobles put not their necks to the work. There's something that slowed them down again. Some of the leadership were not helping. Their hearts were not in this project. And folks, let's let it be said around here that the leadership of our church did not become the ones that are uninvolved. Let's make sure we stay involved and stay committed. After much opposition, though, finally, Nehemiah and God's people finished the wall. It says in Nehemiah 6:15, so the wall was finished in the 20th and 5th day. And the Bible tells us, as a result of the finishing of the wall, that God was glorified. It says in Nehemiah 6:16, for they perceived that this work was wrought of God. Everyone said, look what God's done. Look what God has accomplished. Look at the greatness of what God has done. Now, this wall was a great wall. This wall was a very important wall. This wall was a historically famous wall, referred to often. Now, so you know, I don't believe there are any words in the Bible that are there by accident. I think God put every word in the Bible for a reason. There is a description of this wall that was built. It's in Nehemiah 3:8. The very same description is used again in Nehemiah chapter 12. And the words are, it is described as a broad wall. A broad wall. I don't think God put that word broad in there because he didn't have anything else to do with his time. He put it in there for a reason. He's telling us something about that wall. The word broad is in reference to how wide or how thick the wall was. Now, you go into the average home and you look at a wall, it's not real thick. But this wall around the city, this wall was a broad wall. It was a very wide, wide wall. It's a very thick wall. This wall around the city was not a privacy fence like around your backyard. The walls were wide enough for a team of horses to ride on top of it. Sometimes as many as 12 horses wide could get on top of this wall with a chariot and could ride on top of certain parts of this wall. It was a broad wall. Now, I think there are many, many applications that would help you and I as we look at this story of the broad wall. Now, I promise you, I won't be long tonight. We've had a long week. I know that we the ladies were here Friday night and all day Saturday. If you stay with me, I'll get us on our way. You can go out, get in your canoe and go home. That's rain that you hear. Don't let it startle you. It's done it before. It'll do it again. But listen to me tonight. I want to talk to all of us about this idea of the broad wall. The broad wall. Why? What does this say to us? What's God telling us when he points out the fact that this wall was a broad wall? Well, first of all, I believe it was a broad wall for the sake of safety. For the sake of safety. Let's face it, that's one of the reasons for the wall around the city. It was safety. God provided a thick safety, if you will. And you and I believe we too are surrounded by God's broad wall of protection. They had a thick fortification around them. And then God comes to you and I as Christians and he says, I'm going to provide some good, thick fortification for in your life. You see, this wall, as I said earlier, it was wide enough so that a team of horses, 12 abreast, could ride on the top of it. But not only that, this wall was wide enough that and strong enough that a unit of soldiers could get on top of it. Why would you put a unit of soldiers on top of the wall around the outside of the city? Well, they're up there for protection. They're watching out for the enemy. They're there so that people would be safe. Hey, listen, God has provided you and I as Christians some things that are like this broad wall. I believe the New Testament church is a part of the broad wall in the Christian life. We have a church, and the church, part of what we do is help to protect the Christians. That's what a church does. Church is not just for your entertainment. The church is a part of the broad wall of our lives. Hey, thank God for good church music. You say, what is that? That's the broad wall. That's the broad wall. Hey, thank God for the right kind of preaching at a church. What is that? That's that broad wall. That good, thick wall. That wall that's there to protect. Look, folks, there are all sorts of people that if we're not careful, they would influence the church and they would change the church's music to the wrong kind of music. And you know what we'd be doing? We would be making the wall of protection thinner and thinner and smaller and destruction would come. That broad wall, the New Testament church, is one of the ways that God keeps you and I safe. Hey, thank God for the right atmosphere in the church. A holy atmosphere in the church. Oh, we have some fun and goof off a little bit around here, but we all know church is all about Jesus and all about the Bible and all about preaching and all about singing and all about praying and all about glorifying God. And thank God for that atmosphere. Thank God for that. What is that? That's the broad wall. That's the broad wall of protection. That broad wall. Hey, I thank God for His broad wall of forgiveness. Hey, thank God for His forgiveness. I'll tell you something about this thing of our salvation. I thank God for that broad wall of the forgiveness of God. When God saved me, He forgave me. Now I get to go to heaven. I didn't get saved because of my own merit. I was saved because of that broad wall of the forgiveness of God. Thank God for that broad wall of forgiveness that's made available to me. And I'm taught about it in the church. I think of that forgiveness that we're taught here at church. I'm glad that God gives you and I instruction about forgiveness. You come to church, we're going to instruct you. Forgive. Learn how to forgive. But I'll tell you why. If you don't learn how to forgive, you will self-destruct. You will self-destruct. You're the one that will get bitter and angry and you'll be eaten up on the inside and you can't sing anymore and you can't smile anymore and you're not happy anymore. And the devil comes and steals the joy of the Lord out of your heart. Why? You're not practicing forgiveness, and the forgiveness of God is a part of that broad wall that keeps you and I safe. Hey, the Bible way is a safe way. There were those like Sanballat and Tobiah that opposed the wall. They were trying to remove that safety. Their safety in obedience to God's way. And the broad wall was a safe thing. It was an issue of safety. God loves you and He desires the broad wall in your life. And that love is a part. You better be thankful God loves you. He's one that you don't want to have hate you. What is that? That's that broad wall of God's protection. I love it. The Holy Spirit of God, He's a part of our broad wall. His conviction upon you for your sin, that's a part of the broad wall. Oh, you can be glad if God convicts you of your sin and you feel bad about your sin. That's part of that broad wall. What's God doing? He's trying to protect you. Hey, you say, well, I don't like to feel bad. You ought to thank God you feel bad about your sin. If you feel bad about your sin, you're less apt to do it. And if you're less apt to do it, you're less apt to mess up your life. Thank God for the broad wall of protection. That broad wall. Hey, the Holy Spirit, I think of His guidance. And if we submit to Him, the protection that makes available to us. You and I, we as Christians are protected by the broad wall of God's power. We as Christians are protected by the broad wall of God's patience with us. And the broad wall pictures a safe haven that keeps the enemy away from us. And when I see that word, the broad wall, what was happening? There was safety being provided to those people. And God pointed out the broad wall for a reason. Why? God's protection for us is not a little thin protection. It's a vast, thick, broad protection that He makes available to the Christian. Not only do I see that the broad wall is a wall of safety, I then see the need of a broad wall of separation in our lives. This wall separated the people from the outside world. The outside world were those that were not like the people living in Jerusalem. There were people that didn't love God, and people that were God's enemies, and people that had very, very terrible habits and ways of doing things. That wall created and provided a separation. Note, it was not just a wall. It was a broad wall. Obviously, the wall separated. Everybody knows that a wall separates the people on one side from the people on the other side. And so this was a sign of separation. Folks, we should not merely separate, but we should separate from the world in a broad way. In a broad way. We're to be separate from the world. We're to be different than the world. We're to be different. We're to be set apart. The word is sanctified. Now, don't let that word scare you. When we are sanctified, it means we're just being set apart. God is setting us apart for service. God is setting us apart. He's separating us from some things. And we ought to want to be sanctified in our life. Folks, our business dealings should be fair and honest. When people look at us and our business dealings, there should be a broad wall of difference between the way you handle business and the way the lost world handles business. In the lost world, it's every man for himself, cutthroat, backstabbing, stealing, lying, cheating. But a Christian ought not behave that way in business. We shouldn't behave that way with each other in business. And you say, but, well, the person I'm doing business with can't be trusted. But you ought to be trusted. You ought to be trusted. There ought to be a broad wall of separation. In our conversations, they should be clean. They should be encouraging. They should be positive. They should be honest. And there ought to be a broad wall in our separation in regard to what comes out of our mouth and the kinds of things that we're talking about. A broad wall. See, that word broad there means in our business dealings, we should be strongly different than the world. In our way of holding conversation, that which we converse about, and I'm talking about when you talk with your mouth, I'm talking about when you talk through your email on your computer, I'm talking about your texting, I'm talking about your blogging, I'm talking about any type of communication, there ought to be a strong difference in the way you communicate and the people that are lost and in the world communicate. Why? It was a broad wall. That wall separated the people on the inside from the people on the outside. That broad wall was a sign of separation. I believe our attitudes should be positive and spiritual. And there ought to be a broad wall, a vast difference between the people on the inside of the church and the people on the outside of the church because of the broad wall of separation in the way that we act and our attitude. Strongly different attitude. We shouldn't be acting like the world. We shouldn't have the same attitude as the world. I'm talking about the hatefulness and the revenge and the ways that the world behaves. I think our morality should be strong and clean, and there ought to be a broad wall of morality. We should be vastly different, strongly different than the world. But it seems as if, as the world gets worse, morality-wise, the church, they may not behave just like the world, but they follow as close behind as what they can get. And it should not be that way. There should be a broad wall of separation in regard to our morality. I think when a Christian separates from the world, they're more successful. I think when a Christian separates from the world, they're happier. So that broad wall is best for you. I think the broad wall is probably best for the world, too. You say, why? Because unseparated Christians are powerless Christians, and powerless Christians are not going to affect the world. The world needs the church to stay pure, or the world is going to die and go to hell. You understand that? The world may not like our separation, but they don't realize how much they are banking on the church staying holy enough to have the power of God on the church so we can go back out and win their sin-cursed, hell-bound souls to Christ. And when you act like the world, they may like it, but when they burn in hell because you didn't have the power of God on your life to where you could win them to Christ, they're not going to like that much. The world needs the church to be broad in its separation so we can have the power of God on our lives and see people saved. There's some in our church, they don't like the separation stands that I take. Let me tell you something. We're seeing people saved by the thousands and the thousands and the thousands. It's miraculous. Separation has something to do with God giving His power to a church. The ones that gripe about the standards the most are usually the ones that are winning the fewest souls. They're just worried about their comfort in the church. Look, hey, we're to get a little bit uncomfortable about this thing, change our lives, get the power of God on us, go out to a lost and dying world and salvage them before they die and go to hell. That broad wall, it's a broad wall of separation. We should be obviously different than the lost. Jesus was obviously different than the world. Most Christians today have very narrow walls, if any. Most churches today have very narrow walls, if any. The average pastor is no longer a wall builder. He's a fence straddler. I don't want to be a fence straddler. I'm on the inside of the wall and I want thick walls. I love my church. I want thick walls. I love the teenagers in this church and I want thick walls. And you teenagers, I get on you about the way you behave, and it's not because I'm mad at you. It's because I love you. And I know what'll happen to you if you don't pay attention in church. If you run behind a building out there messing around and fornicating and all that kind of stupid kind of stuff, you're going to hurt yourself. So I'm going to build walls around here. I'm not tearing walls down. I'm building walls up. And I'm not trying to build a wall that's going to fall down when the devil blows on it a little bit. I want a wall that is thick enough to take the bombarding of all of hell, so the old Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church will stand for a long time to come. After I'm dead and gone, if the Lord tarries, I want some other young preacher to stand in here to preach the same gospel the same way. I want the walls to be thick enough so the old Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church goes into the next generation, an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, hell-hating, Bible-believing kind of a church. But you can't do that with thin walls. You can't. You can't. And if you've got thin skin, you probably won't handle it yourself. Oh, the walls. The broad wall. The broad wall of safety. The broad wall of separation. I believe there was a broad wall, and it had something to do with relationships. It's obvious. That wall sent a signal regarding their relationships and their associations with what was on the outside. But doesn't a wall say that? You put your kids in the backyard. You got a fence back there. And for some of you, I'll put some barbed wire on top of that fence. But that was so that your kids were inside your fence. And there are some things on the outside of that fence you don't want your kids to be around. What are we talking about now? We're talking about that wall sent a signal about relationships. That wall sent a signal about associations. You know, there's some people that we should separate from, or from which we should separate. I think we ought to be friendly to everyone, but you should only be best friends with godly, decent, separated kind of people. Some of you desperate adults that are singles. A bunch of you are climbing on top of the wall looking over, thinking about taking a run through the field. You may regret that. You may regret that. I'd be very, very careful all over the place. The world's trying to tell you how to find companionship. You might just want to wait on God. There have been many a single man or single woman that climbed over the wall, went out and tried to find something, drug it back, and they were sorry when they got it back over the wall. I know people that are out of our church right now that went out and got one, drug it back, couldn't keep it for long. It drug them out after they got married. They're on the other side of the wall now. Yes, you know, folks, I have family members that I spend some time with, but not too much. I love them. We're just not alike. I have friends from my youth that I spend no time with. None. Zero. Mrs. Owens and I grew up in a little town in central Indiana. This last year, our summer vacation, we felt like we needed to go home and spend some time around the family. We did. I had friends. She had friends calling. They said, "We're here. You're in town. Can we spend a little time together?" No, we can't. I didn't try to offend them and I didn't try to hurt them. I figured a way out of it, but I can't spend time with some of those people. They don't love God. They don't want anything to do with God. The only thing I'd spend time with them doing is witnessing, seeing if they want to get born again. Listen, folks, there are people in this church, and listen to this very carefully. There are people in this church that I would spend time with as a ministry to help, but not to fulfill my need of companionship. You say, "What? In the church?" Well, we got a lot of unfinished products in here. We've got some rebels in here. Now, so you know, if you're a guest, our church is not filled with rebels. It's not like that. But I will tell you, teenagers, there's some teenagers in this church you should not be spending time with. There are adults in here. There are people in here you should not be spending time with. You say, well, you spend a little time and you pray with them for a moment. Fine. But as far as because you say, I want companionship, you find some companionship with some people that are loyal, dedicated, sold out to God, that want to live right, and you get you some companionship there. But don't step down the ladder for companionship. Step up. So, well, I'm just not finding anybody. Spend a little time with God. Got to be a big step up. He'll meet your every need. So you see, I think the broad wall was a broad wall for even the purpose of relationships. This broad wall was a broad wall of safety. The broad wall was a broad wall of separation. The broad wall was a broad wall of relationships. And I really believe this, and I've studied this, and I've studied the history of this wall and the way it was handled. I think the broad wall had something to do with their enjoyment. Their enjoyment. The walls of Jerusalem, remember, they were broad walls. They were broad enough, and at the top, they could be used, and they actually conducted parades on the top of the wall. Everybody could see it. Sometimes a group would gather on the top of that wall to honor someone for a good deed or a victory. They could in groups stand and watch the horizon and a beautiful sunset standing on top of that wall. There were social gatherings that were held on top of that wall. A moonlit walk could be enjoyed on top of the broad wall. When we see the broad wall of God's way properly, we're going to be happier. We're going to have more enjoyment in life. You see, folks, the broad wall of God contributes to our rest. When you look, the people that are dabbling in the world and messing their lives up and messing their emotions up and messing their bodies up and messing up their relationships, they don't sleep as well as the people that are living within God's will. And they've got that separation, that broad wall in their life. It helps you to get a little more rest in life. The broad wall contributes to our rest. The broad wall contributes to our peace. Hey, the broad wall produces the joy of the Christian life. See, our fun is different than the world, and the broad wall keeps our fun safe. Our fun is safe fun. You're out, and if you're a single person or a married person, you're out fiddling around with immorality. Having physical relationships with those that you should not, or those that you're not married to, and you say, I'm really having fun. Let me tell you what fun is. Fun is when a young man and a young lady save themselves, and they walk down the aisle, and they're pure, and they're virgin, and they get married, and they come together the very first time on their wedding night. You can't match that kind of fun when it comes to morality. There is a fun and an enjoyment and a pleasure in that that you may never really understand. We are to be different. There is a broad wall, and I promise you, the broad wall brings joy to the Christian. The wall was broad to help God's people not to hurt themselves. It kept bad out. It kept the good in. Can you picture the teenagers of Nehemiah's day? Can you picture the rebellious teenagers of Nehemiah's day complaining about the broad wall? Can you hear them? Can you hear them at the restrooms down near the wall griping and complaining? I can't believe the youth director told us this and told us that. Complaining about the broad walls. I can't believe the Christian school makes us do this and makes us do that. I can't believe pastors preaching on this and preaching on that. Can you picture it? Can you picture them? Even in Nehemiah's day, the teenagers griping and complaining. Jeremy, you need to move away from her a little bit. You guys shouldn't be touching. But put a wall right there. I'm telling you, the teenagers back then pulling out their can of spray paint, painting their graffiti of dislike for the broad wall, writing their words on the broad wall because they were upset about the wall. It was happening in Nehemiah's day. It was happening, and believe me, it'll happen in your day and in my day. The broad wall. The broad wall. That nasty attitude toward the separation that was given not to hurt, but given to help. You young people, I call you down. I love you, and I'm your friend. believe me, whether you understand or not, your preacher's trying to help you. The broad wall. The broad wall. The broad wall of safety. The broad wall of separation. The broad wall of relationships. The broad wall that brings enjoyment. And unless you think I've been unfair to someone, I call people down for a long, 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 long time before I ever get to the point where I'm to tonight. I'm a patient man. But I will build a wall. I will build a wall. I'm a wall builder. And it's a wall that's built out of love and respect for people so that their lives will be happy, so they'll have fulfillment. I'm finished, but let me tell you a little story. On vacation this year, we were going in and out of, we rented a house, and the entire family stayed in the house, our children, the grandchildren. Walking in and out of the house, I seen this great big toad. I mean, it's huge. And I thought, oh, I'll bet the grandkids would enjoy that toad. So I got to reaching for that toad, and it took off, got up under the house before I could get to it. Sent Mrs. Owens under the house. She couldn't find it. No, I didn't. That toad got away from me, and I thought, I bet my grandkids would like playing with that toad for a little while. And I actually prayed, Brother McLean. I said, Lord, bring that toad back my way. Help that toad to come out again. Sure enough, the next morning it was wet out and the dew was out, and that old toad was out there bebopping along. I thought, I need something to put that toad in. So I'd gotten a dozen donuts, and I had a donut box, and it had a window on top of it, a plastic window, and I popped some holes in that thing. I went and grabbed that toad. I put that toad in that box. And when the grandchildren were up, I showed them that toad. We took the toad in the living room. None of the moms or women knew it, but me and the grandkids were in there, and that old toad was hopping all over the place, and we were having a good time with it. And I told all three of the grandchildren, I told them, I said, now, I'm going to tell you, we got to keep the toad in this box, because the toad's going to be safest in this box. I said, and I teased with them, I said, if your moms see the toad, they're liable to panic. I said, we're going to keep this toad in the box. And we got it out and played with it a little bit. But the main object was, I was trying to tell him, keeping the toad in those walls is going to keep that toad safe. Well, a few days into vacation, I was getting ready to pull out with the car, and in the drive, I seen the toad. He wasn't hopping anymore. He very obviously had gone underneath the pressure of the car. His eyes and his arms and legs were like a skydiver. He was flat, baby. There was their toad. And I thought, that is exactly what happens to Christians. God says, I'm going to give you some walls. If you'll stay inside those walls, you'll have freedom. You'll be safe. You jump outside those walls, something real big is going to come along and smash you. Something will squeeze the life out of you. Something will destroy you. That old toad had gotten outside the safety of the walls. As a result, it was crushed. And so all of you know, if you're not careful and you get outside the safety of the broad walls of God, the devil will try to crush you. I wasn't trying to hurt that toad. These walls are not to try to hurt anybody. These walls are because of the love of God. These walls are there for protection. You young people that have parents that give you rules and require you to abide by them. Somebody loves you. Somebody's given you some walls. Somebody's trying to help you. You say, I don't like those walls. Those walls are best for you. And someday when you're older and you're a better Christian and you're more mature, you'll look back and thank God for those walls. You'll thank God for those walls. You'll thank God that somebody put a wall up. You say, but why does a wall have to be so thick? Because the devil is so bad and evil is out there. And the devil is persuasive. And we want to keep you as far away from wrong as we possibly can. Nehemiah 3:8, it says, and they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall. Verse 38 of chapter 12, it says, from beyond the tower of the furnaces, even unto the broad wall. Thank God for the broad wall. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, I welcome you to the Savior. If you're here tonight and maybe you are climbing over the wall and running out and hiding and sneaking around, you better be careful. Your life will get crushed like that old toad did. If you're one of those rebels that complain about the broad wall, you're complaining about something that was given to you to keep you safe. We ought to thank God for the broad walls. The world needs the church to have the broad walls so we have the power and the influence to go back to them and keep them out of hell. Is there anyone in this building tonight that would say, "Preacher, if I'm not even saved, if I died tonight, I don't know I'd go to heaven"? If that's you, when we give this altar call, you come. You walk up to one of the assistant pastors, say, "I want to be born again." We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. I think there are Christians in this house tonight. You need to see the broad wall and the importance of the broad wall. And rather than fighting against it, thank God for it. Thank God for it. Who here tonight would say, "God's spoken to my life, my heart tonight. I know God specifically has showed me something about a broad wall. Maybe one I need to put up in my own life, or maybe one that I fuss against. But God's spoken to my heart tonight with this sermon." Would you raise your hand? There are hands everywhere. If you need the altar, in a moment you come. Somebody may need to rededicate your life. Get back inside the wall. Get back inside it. Back inside where it's safe. Parents, or some of you need to get your wall up and you need to broaden it. Quit letting your kids tell you what to do. Boy, the biggest dearth in child rearing in this church is parents that let their kids and grandkids tell them what to do. They're to do what you say. We need to get control of it. Get the wall built. Make it a thick wall. Make it a broad wall. You see, it causes tension. Well, I feel sorry for you, but everybody goes through it if they're going to get right to be done. There's always difficulty in getting right done because the devil doesn't want right to be done. But it's worth it. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads back.